Good afternoon. It's time for Torn Into, your show for news, information, and more for this September the 15th. Man, time is flying. 2023. I am your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Let me bring in my co-host, Pastor Melvin C. Burns II. What's up, my brother?
Hey, my brother. How are you?
Listen, we got a ton of stuff to talk about. Yes. What I need to do is tell people, first of all, what we need you to do is that if you are driving and you would like to watch this show over, or you have comments or stuff like that, you can join us on the Facebook site at WVS 103.7 to be, or M106. And leave your comments, and we will hopefully get to them today. Mind you, I have a disclaimer that the views of the show today are the views of Gregory T. Roberts and Pastor Melvin Burns II. If you got a problem, don't even bother him. See me.
If you got a problem, you're just going to have a problem.
You just, hey, if it's an issue, grab a tissue. That's how that we're going to do. Pastor Burns, what we need you to do is go to one of the sites on Facebook, WVS 103.7 to beat, or M106. And what you can do, you'll see the show right now. And what we need you to do is to share that show on your page. And so I'm going to do that right now. Pastor Brown, what's the weather look like?
Okay, today, if you've been out, it's sunny. Have a high of 69. It's going to be a little fall warm this weekend. Saturday, low 59, high 70, but a little cloudy. Sunday, 40% chance of rain, low 57, high 68. And going right into the work week next week, we have Monday, a high of 66 and sunny. And Tuesday, partly cloudy, high 69. No rain forecasted other than Sunday for the next 10 days. And high standing in those upper 60, low 70. So still a chance to get out there, rake those leaves, fill up those last, take care of those last little fall chores before things get really ugly out there.
Hey, be quiet when you say that, man. I don't want my wife to hear that. that honeydew list is large enough. Okay. Let's get into I did put on my Facebook site that we have no guests. Now, let me explain why we don't have a guest. It is not because we don't try. Lady J does a great job of making phone calls.
Yes.
But if you don't respond, how we go, especially all these people that are running for office. We want to get all of you people online and on air to hear your views. If you don't answer, and that's the season that we are in, is trying to get those contacts. So make it clear. Or if you have an event, if you have an issue that you want to talk about, which a lot of people did leave us messages of issues that they want to talk about, please call. Phone number 231-727-5007. Ask for Lady J. You can ask for Q89 or Big Rob, and they'll make sure that we get it on. All right, you ready?
Let's get going.
Okay, it's the National Suicide Prevention Month. We want to say to everyone out there, if you need help, if you seriously need help, do not think that it's your problem alone. It's your burden. There are many people out there that are willing to help you. There are phone numbers that you can call.
Mm-hmm.
Please seek help. Pastor Burns.
Yeah, you know, I see these posts from time to time where they say, you know, somebody's always listening. There's a National Suicide Prevention Hotline, but one of the things I've learned about suicide is people tend to think nobody hears or nobody cares. So I'm listening. I know Greg is listening, and there are many other people that are listening. So during this Suicide Prevention Month, don't be ashamed. people that you wouldn't imagine. I've been there, been at the brink. Somebody wants to hear your story. Somebody wants to listen to you. So if you happen to catch this broadcast, we just implore you, don't take that step of taking your life.
You've been a pastor, and me, I mean, those funerals are hard.
Yeah.
And when you can, when you think the life, the world would be better without you, think about the people that you're leaving behind.
Yes.
Okay, so just, this is that month, so we're going to, for the rest of September, just remind you to seek help, okay?
Yes.
All right, the second thing is I want to take the opportunity to thank the city of Muskegon. Last week was this whole September, actually, they're celebrating 150 years of service with the fire department. Mm-hmm. And what they, the spread that they put on and what they did for the retirees and the current fire department. Also, I want to thank North Muskegon Fire Department for taking the calls so we can all be together. Man, I tell you what, I had tissue the whole time when we were in the parade, but when I passed my family and they were applauding and clapping, and my little granddaughter, she didn't know what was going on, and then she realized it was Papa and Grammy, and she got a big smile on my face.
Oh, man.
Lost it.
Got to lose it with the grandkids.
I lost it, but I went to the public service director, to the city manager, to the fire department, everybody. Thank you so much for doing that. And I think it. Let's do this Fire Prevention Month every year, starting next year in October. Pastor Burns.
All right. Hey, I'm glad you would be a part of that. You know, my family's also been in the fire service. So I'm glad you had that tremendous opportunity. And again, you and all the guys who've served in the fire service, appreciate you all so much. So kudos to that celebration chance to get together. Firefighters in Muskegon Heights, Grand Rapids, had connections. You guys keep up the good work. Stay safe.
Yep. Already the phone lines are blowing up. Anthony Miller says, afternoon, gentlemen. He's the guy that watches the show every week. And he comes back and he says, thank you for your service, Greg. Thank you, Anthony, for your service. And you have a whole other story that we need to get on this show as well. Okay. I got to talk about a few things real quick. Normally, we don't do this, but you ever meet somebody that is so positive, always encouraging, just a loving individual? That person, one of those persons passed away. His name was Donnie Hughley.
Mm-hmm.
He was a drummer, played with Big Daddy, but played with a whole bunch of drummers, played with a whole bunch of bands.
Yeah.
I want to say condolences to the family. We had a benefit for him the other day and raised money. His funeral's tomorrow. And we want to say to Big Daddy, who put that off, thank you so much. I also want to say Funk Day at Sporty's, thank you for doing that at Sporty's. We had a ball raising money because they were the second band that went out. I don't know if you knew Donnie or not.
Oh, yes, certainly did. No, Donnie. No, know him very well. And like I say, wonderful drummer, good dude. So he'll be missed. I didn't know he had passed until I saw a post on Facebook that had a bunch of drummers all in the same picture. And so, sorry to see him pass.
Yeah. I want to say this because we've done a ton of funerals. And I really want to express this. I'm going to take my time on this next segment here.
Take your time.
Crying at their funeral will not make up for not speaking to them while they were living. Love your family now and your friends.
Yeah.
I want to slow down here and stop the brakes because a lot of people have this I will never forgive them what they do. We got an amen on that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. But a lot of people, I will never forgive. And the thing is, let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
Last week, I had more people going to the credit union or in the store or whatever. Hey, how you doing? I lost somebody. Keep me in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me 3 times in like 3 days.
Yes.
And here's the thing, and I know this is at the bottom of the list. People, if you do not think that there's a drug problem, a serious drug problem, I ain't talking about a little weed or whatever. I'm talking about heroin and stuff like that, fentanyl, that people are dying. If you don't think we have a serious problem, you have your head in the sand, and it's tiring of going counseling all these people that are passing away. Pastor Byrne.
Okay, let's take this a little bit of time because we're gonna take our time, as they say.
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to the crying at funeral comment. You and I both have spent years in ministry, and we've been to our share of funerals. We had our share of funerals in our families. And while you were talking, I looked up this word. I'm gonna tell you the definition, and I'm gonna tell you. You could probably tell me what it says. An emotional discomfort you feel when you believe that you are responsible for something that offended or hurt someone else.
Ooh.
Definition of the word guilt.
Wow.
What we've seen is that the funerals, those tears are guilt. There may be some loss and some discouragement there, but there's also some guilt. And so here's the thing, and I'm not trying to get too preachy, but if I get the platform, I need to say it.
Well, get preaching.
Yes, and this won't be an original thought. Here's the thing about forgiveness. It is for you, not so much for the person you're forgiving. It's freedom. It's you not having to cry. It's you not getting to spend the rest of your life saying, I wish I had said, I wish I had forgiven, I wish I had apologized. It's you being free of that burden. And so, can you forgive somebody after they're gone? You can, but you know what? That guilt's going to linger. I'll throw this in because this is just my thoughts we're talking. I say this and you'll understand this. I was fortunate that both my parents were sort of ill and declined before they passed. So talked to all their kids, knew their life was declining. We had months to pray with them, visit, spend time. When they were ill, helped them, fed them, bathed them, took care of them. Brother, no guilt. Not a bit. Wish I had done, wish I had showed up, wish I had been there. Absolutely none of that. The tears were all about missing, not I wish I had done. So if that preaches to you, let it preach.
I say this. I say, I don't want to leave this earth with having beef or anyone being offended. If I have offended you anyway, please let me know, because I want to end that. And so, good word, Pastor Burns, on that.
Yeah, it's okay to apologize. It doesn't make you weak. In fact, it strengthens you. Yeah, it's okay to say, hey, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I didn't mean to offend you. You know, it gives you strength, sets you free. So I want to encourage people to do that. There's nothing that makes up for those tears of guilt. Not a thing.
I want to go to some of the things that people wanted to talk to online. Michael Anthony Smith wanted to talk about what's happening, the school board controversy. I just want you to know, we did reach out and we are trying to find school board members that will go online, Anthony Smith. And you also wanted to talk about the latest on the Muskegon County Casino. I talked to our representatives at the fire Saturday. They both are going to come on the show. So we will address that situation as it is. as it stands, what I know is that it's not necessarily a done deal. There's another tribe that could come in that they're trying to see if that's going to be a issue if bringing in a casino. So when we get those guys on, which both of them, Democrat and Republican, both said that they would come on, one for the first time, and he said he would give me his number. I have not got it yet, but as soon as he gives me his number, we'll make sure we get him on, okay? Anything else you want to add?
No. As far as the school board, I'd like to, some discussion, but we'll get somebody when we get somebody.
I want to thank Jack Page.
Okay.
And I want to thank Eric Hoffman. Jack thought this was such an important issue. He even knocked at my door and was going to, let me get this on because this is a good one.
Okay.
You're right on the money. Two of the hardest words to say is I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's true. Okay. But good news. There's good news today, Muskegon.
Okay.
That Cajun Cuisine is doing a soft opening today. We are really excited about that restaurant that's going to open up downtown. Of course, there was, let's say, some bad blood and some things happening. But what happened, what the devil meant for evil, God will get the glory. And so now that restaurant is going to open up. This is what Jack said. Jack said to me today, and I don't think he'll mind that I quoted him. He said that he would do the show today. We want to get him on, as well as the owners of that restaurant. He is sick and tired of black people who try to open restaurants somehow they don't get a chance to open or things go awry. And this is a guy that is not black. And this is what he said. So it was important enough for him to give equipment and to donate time. Thank you, Jack. But we want to say congratulations. And we'll be down there as soon as we can. Pastor Burns.
I echo everything you said. Thank you for those comments, Jack. I look around. A lot of tourists coming to Muskegon. When tourists come into a town, they don't want to go to McDonald's and Red Lobster and chains. They want to know, what's the local place that I can eat at that I don't get food anywhere else?
Exactly.
And so we want to encourage local-owned, unique, non-chain type restaurants. When I travel, that's the first thing I ask for. What are the people I eat? Where should I eat at? And so we want to welcome Cajun cuisine to that list, and wish them the greatest of success. And like you said, we'll be there.
I know that the chef and me, I always, like when I travel or whatever, the thing is that I don't want to go where the average Joe goes.
Yeah,
I want to go where the people, where good food is.
Yeah,
the hole in the walls, whatever. Tell me where the people that live in the city go.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to some franchise.
Yeah.
We major kudos to them for opening that spot, and let's do our best to support it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Okay. I want you to go. You said you had something you wanted to talk about.
Oh, well. Yeah, I feel preachy today, and I'm not being preachy, but flip through social media. I flip through in a different vein now, because of some of the things I do. But when people comment on other things going on, you comment on the event, but let me tell you what you also do. You also shed light on yourself. And I'm just gonna say this as a blanket, not to anybody, but the amount of people that comment on things that have not done any research, not checked any background, not even done a Google search, let alone research, and offer what they believe are informed comments is staggering. Now, I know it's social media and it's a place for your opinions, but it's also good to make sure your opinion is based in some fact and some, you know, and so I see people making observations, offer opinions about things that they're just 10 seconds. They could be accurate or correct about 10 seconds Google search. And so I say this all the time, we're quick to criticize ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, but guess what? They are the media, okay? That's a plural word. Once you get on social media, you become part of the media also. If you're reporting it, if you're telling people about it, and so you should have some responsibility to be accurate also. Otherwise, the same way you have criticism for the newspaper, for the Chronicle, you should also be subject to that same kind of scrutiny.
Let me address this. To the people that sit up there, and, you know, we are losing the art of conversation, of talking one to another. So the people that get back, get a little liquid courage and just blast people on Facebook, stop it. Even you're quoting Wikipedia. Wikipedia is not true. I mean, you got to look through all that stuff. And the people that just copy and paste without reading what you're copying and paste, just please stop it. You look silly. You're acting silly, and stop acting like a fool. Pastor Burns is being kind. I'm going to go there. It's hard in the yard. Stop acting like a fool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could the equivalent of you sit standing in the room just shouting and screaming stuff. it's like, man, what, you know, get some information. You know, I have gone back to things I posted years ago and changed what I said because something was incorrect. You know, just drive me crazy when I put some out. If I find a typo from years ago, I go back and correct them. But let alone if I find, I was wrong about that. Not just an opinion, but something I thought was factual. Well, let me go back and take that down.
And don't you know what happens on the internet is forever, unless you, like you said, if you change it. But usually once you put it on there, it's too late.
Too late, yeah.
So, yeah.
And I often had this thought of just, and this is wrong, just totally fabricating the story. And just seeing how far it traveled.
That people doing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they are. Yeah, yes, they are.
So stop it. Hold on. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Michael Anthony Smith, that's true. Their lights shine. LOL. Thank you, sir.
Back on. Yeah.
So people, listen, I know you have the right to put anything on your Facebook page. But when you share your Facebook page with me and want me to, no. I'll drop you like a bad habit.
Yes.
Stop putting that crap on. Let me see. Let's go. Michael Anthony Smith from Houston, Texas. Yes, a lot of misinformation. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, so we wanted to address that. It's 2:24. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to go commercial break. We got a lot of topics that we want to talk about. Okay, dude, we have a countdown in Washington, possible shutdown.
How many days? Oh, till September 30th, right?
Yeah, I believe so, September 30th. So 15, it's like 15 days. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. You know, so... And we haven't done a really hard political show in a while, but
haven't.
You have certainly the Democrats that don't want to shut down, except maybe for Manchin. He's been kind of quiet lately, though, hasn't he? So you have a faction on the opposition party that are let it shut down. Then you have the faction that, you know, let's do that before, let's reach some kind of compromise. And I don't, you know, couldn't tell you where most of the party lies right now, but enough certainly may want to shut it down, and we're probably going to get to October 1 and not have a budget deal.
There is a Republican and Democrat that are trying to introduce a bill right now that will stop this thing, these shutdowns and stuff like that. It's so important that this is so important to us, but the House of Representatives could not get the votes when it came down to the shutdown. So what did they do? They went on recess. They went on recess and did not handle the problem. Hey, Washington, wake up. You rich people, you know, us average Joes out here that send you. Isn't it amazing that we send our money, we have to send our money in April on time, but they can take their time and do stuff and mess up like this and mess up the small people, but they don't care. It doesn't affect them. Do your work.
So you know what solved this? I call it the Burns Amendment.
Okay.
Everybody in Congress, while you're in Congress, you can only live on your congressional salary. Now, I know people think, you know, they make a lot. I don't know if they're in the 100,000. They think they make a lot. But they got families. They got two residences. You know, they got family in private school and college. I say, while you're in Congress, only live on that income. I think it would be a game changer. I know people say, oh, there's complications to it. And people, nope, while you're in Congress, you only live on that income. We can work out the details, but I think it would be a game changer because you let it shut down and you, like everybody else, don't get a paycheck and you go home Friday and argue your principles with your family and see if they're sticking with you.
That would be a game changer.
That's my proposal. I don't want to hear all the ways it can't work. Find a way to make it work.
Hey, if you have an opinion, please let us know. WUVS 103.7 The Beat or M106 Facebook page. You can get into this conversation. Are you listening? Hey, you can go back, watch the show, comment. We look at these comments and we address these comments accordingly. It's 2:28 at the hour. We're going to tackle one more issue, then go on break. Somebody wanted to talk about, and we can't handle this in 2 minutes, but I'm going to talk. They wanted to talk about the shootings in Muskegon.
And that's what I mean, Muskegon County as a whole.
Muskegon County as a whole.
Yeah.
The shootings will not stop until you get involved. You know Spud and Nuck Nuck, and you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you know what Tim and Biff are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are snitches get stitches. No, in my neighborhood, if you do something wrong, you hit. You silent observer, 911, it's gonna happen. Let's go with Mike Anthony Smith with this Congress. Yeah, but Congress vote on their salaries. He has a point.
Yeah, they set the amounts, but again, that's far less than, no, what is it, about 65-70% are millionaires or more. So that congressional salary is a lot less than that money they bring in with them and they take out with them.
And isn't that amazing? And that so many people in Congress right now, like you said, are millionaires.
Yeah.
And the people that they have to deal with, that they represent, are $400 away from a catastrophe.
$400.
That's it. People are $400 away from a catastrophe. Okay, wait a minute. So anyway, you're listening and watching Torn in Two with Gregory T. Roberts and Pastor Melvin Burns. It's the bottom of an hour. It's 2:30. We're going to come back and we got to address this violent issue. We're going to take a commercial and we'll see you in a second.
The second annual I Am Her Feminine Hygiene Drive, supporting young ladies from Ghana, Africa, in need of everyday essentials and feminine hygiene products, was a great success. Thanks to the generosity of our community and organizations like Period.org, Muskegon Heights Public School Academy, Confident Cosmetics, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Inc., and everyone who made a contribution, Hundreds of young ladies and village members received essential items. The community made a lasting impact with more than 10,000 sanitation items donated. If you would like to help, donations can be made year-round by dropping off items in the donation shed at the Mays and Wright Media Center, located at 1877 Peck Street, or making a contribution to paypal.me/1037thebeat. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Thank you for supporting I Am Her Foundation.
Please support those that foundation. It is just hugely important. Okay, questions are coming to you.
Okay. Mr. Anthony Miller, how many Stop the Violence marches has the radio station been involved in? I know I've been involved with two with you. I'm referring to you, Greg.
Yeah, we've done a lot of them, but here's the thing. How many marches is it going to take? How many shirts that people are going to have, rest in peace? How many funerals are we going to get phone calls saying we need somebody to take care of it? Listen, Muskegon, it goes back to that drug problem that they have. It goes back to people. It's a big problem, okay? Quick money, lack of jobs. It's a big problem, okay? But here's the thing. There is no excuse to take anybody's life. None. Not none. And the thing is that if you know somebody's going to take somebody's life, and if you don't do nothing, you got blood on your hands. Pastor Burn.
You know, I couldn't tell you what exactly will stop the gun violence, but I know one thing that will not stop it. That's more shooting, more guns, more people shooting at people, retaliating to people. That absolutely will not ever stop the violence.
Right. And so, another march, another T-shirt, more balloons lifted up, and nothing but tears. It's an issue, so grab tissue. And the thing is that people think that those shootings don't involve them. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they do. It's going to infect because the person that did the shooting, that if they catch them, will go to jail. Well, they will have a court. Well, hold on. They will have a court hearing. And if they're, because they're innocent until proven guilty, if they're proven guilty, they end up going to prison and you end up paying for it because on the short end, you didn't want to pay for that person to have a good education or have good jobs. Don't get me started. It's a long issue, but it's not right to shoot another person.
Yeah, it's just never going to make anything better.
Okay, next subject. And hey, I want to thank everybody for the board is lighting up. I tell you, Michael Anthony Smith is on it. Hello, I'm $400 from coming to Muskegon next month. Hey, brother, sell bottles like the rest of us. okay, I see the high school got a new feeling puppy. Are you kidding me?
Don't jump too critical. Now, I think it's one of those like support animals kind of,
I ain't got no problem with that.
Yeah. You thought they had a mascot?
Muskegon got a mascot problem. We won't go there. You touched a sore spot right there.
Let's just go back. So is that still an outstanding issue? Is it because it's the Black M for Muskegon, right?
Right.
But we don't say the other part. We don't say.
No.
We say go Reds, or do we? Is that
in a go? Just Big Reds.
Go Big Reds.
Right.
But that's not in reference to our Native American brothers.
No, because that's a long story, because a tribe that we had a long conversation with did not understand the history. Now, I do understand the history of our indigenous brothers being abused, and like some of the stereotypes, like the Boston Red Sox, who had to change with the Indian with the big nose, or the Washington Redskins, which that's derogatory. I get those, but they didn't understand why Muskegon chose the mascot and what we had to go through. Dude, we had to go through training. We went through powwows. We worked with tribes and stuff like that to know what correct dances they were doing. Snake dance, Indian dance, rain dance.
When you did those dances, you would do it an actual dance. You weren't just out there mocking something. You did an actual dance.
Yeah, we did actual dance. Now did we put our little flavor on it? Yeah, we. Okay. I got called in the office, but I got called in the office every time. But
you did a little extra shimmy on yours.
Yeah, I put a little shimmy on. But
it taught you like things that to not do that would be offensive or inappropriate.
Right, but
this is going back what 40 years that they were you know. And again, I understand the sensitivity, and I'm not making light of it. I understand the sensitivity to it. But, you know, again, yeah, and you hear difference in different communities where you see both sides, you know, where people say, no, it wasn't. And I don't want to pretend to speak for any other group of people when they say they're offended. If they say they're offended, they are. But I didn't realize that you all went through that, you know, in prep. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Mike Andy Smith said, yeah, change the name.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I want to go. Speaking of, since we're talking about the Big Reds, David Leslie Ball, how you doing? He has a question: the difficulties that bands are going through in high school ranks because of what happened with COVID, having throughout Western Michigan.
Yeah,
it's not only the Big Reds that are hurting right now; it's all bands that are hurting. COVID did damage the current schooling, the lack of funding for instrumentation. Parents can't afford instruments or lessons and stuff like that. It's a lot to it. And here's the thing, that if we're going to get those numbers back up, it's a proven fact that as you heard the superintendent said last week, you use both sides of the brain when you're participating in, say, band. And the thing is that if you look at Muskegon High School as well as Muskegon Heights, the top kids that are in the top 10 usually are in band, orchestra, or choir. And we need to look at that. And if you have a kid, you need to put, I'm not going to say push, you need to get them involved in that, because that is a lifelong thing that you can still do. I'm still playing drums, and I started in middle school. But I got a story that I got to tell, Pastor Byrne. Okay. I got to confess up here. Okay, because our family was so poor, I started out playing trombone, but my trombone ended up getting stolen.
Okay,
we went to another school, and I'm ashamed of this, but this is what I did. I went to the music teacher, and we didn't have money for an instrument. And I went to the music teacher and said, I wanted to be in a band. And she said, okay, I need you to do this. I need you to play a paradiddle, a snare roll, and a flam. I went on lunch break, and I can't say to the person who taught me that during lunch. And then I went and did that audition and got in band. Now, God forgive me for that, but that only thing we could afford in our house was sticks. We couldn't afford a trombone, a flute, a saxophone, or anything else. But that's how I got into band. And if no one should have to face that. If any kid needs to get out there or needs an instrument, they should not be held back. A lot of instruments are in a lot of people's closets, sitting dormant and not being used. And we could take those instruments and give them to kids and let them have a career that's only going to forward them. Pastor Burns.
Oh, you know, I grew up, of my siblings, five of us grew up in the house right together. Everybody was in the band but me. And I can remember those $8 a month, $6 a month, $14 a month payments for trumpets, trombone, or cornet back then. Mm-hmm. The cornet, trumpet, trombone, clarinet, something else. But I can, and you had to guard those instruments with your life. you know, parents, like, they were the biggest, like, hey, where your instrument at? You know, you practicing, you know, another reed, that's 25 cents. But we lost, Superintendent Cortez said it best the other week. He said, we lost 2 years. And I remember it's fourth or fifth grade, you go down to the music room, pick up whatever instrument you like. If you liked it, now I don't know what, somebody, okay, that's the one you want to play. Go check with your parents. But it was an option. And kids lost that option. You know, it's been declined over the years, but kids lost that option. And you're right. I think of my high school top 10. I think just about everybody was in band. I was out there losing brain cells on the football field while they were gating them. But you know what? Everybody loved the band. You know, Muskegon Heights, our tradition. Everybody loved the band. Whether you were in band or not, you still were, you know, you still feel like you were part of the band. Hopefully, not only do we see a tournament, but we understand the value. You know, in other countries, I remember in college, had a good friend was Korean. You know, music was mandatory as part of high school curriculum. But as a curriculum in school, at some point you had to take music. But we wonder why sometimes there's a decline in education system, and it's other things are important that add to education. And I hate when people get to, we don't need extracurricular activities, they just need to read and write. And you know, it's like, no. These activities enhance those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as somebody who never played an instrument, I so strongly support it and encourage it in our schools. And for all you former band alumni out there, it's wonderful when you all come for Alumni Day, but you know what? We need some volunteers. You know,
now,
maybe dig in your garage some of those old instruments. You know, maybe they can be fixed up and donated. Maybe you can help sponsor, you know, a student. Maybe you and a couple of friends get together and make the payments for a student to have an instrument.
Absolutely.
But we need some of you former members who know it benefited your life to maybe find a way to help be a part.
And not only that, listen, parents. If you are a parent of a child in band, volunteer.
Yes.
And not only that, because they're not volunteering, all you alumni and people, even people if you didn't play in a band, Cortez, Superintendent Cortez said that at Muskegon High School, at the orchestra side where they run the concession stand, that they only had three volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Three volunteers. That's horrendous. I want to go to this because I think this is very important. Anthony Miller says schools are cutting out the arts out of school, and band is an art form. You're absolutely right that they're cutting out. And here's the thing. In band, you learn, you got to learn math. You have to learn the play, science, English. I mean, you got to take all the stuff that you learn during the day and you got to apply it in band. I mean, you got to know when, how to blow that. I mean, there's so much to it. It's just not just marching down the street and playing something. Please, people, take it serious. The decline is not only at Muskegon High School, it's at Muskegon Heights, it's at all schools are facing this in the United States, and losing 2 years did not help the situation.
Yes, yeah, hopeful. And again, we're talking about band, but all of those extracurricular, the art, you know, the sports, you know, our kids gain by those other activities. So, you know, that they just need to go to school, whether it's, you know, those or maybe some of the clubs, but just going to school and reading from 9 to 3, education should be more enriching than that. So hopefully as people hearing us and understanding it, not just us and other people are saying these things, we get more volunteers, people to step up and help
Question coming to you.
Ban often also counts for PE credits. I took advantage of it at Eastern Michigan.
There you go.
Yes.
And Cortez said they do get credit.
Yeah.
So one question we got to ask him, Liz, is it true that 100 kids quit? So I got to ask him that question, and I will do that the next time we have him on. Okay, man, it's 2:46 already, and we still got a lot of stuff to talk about. Melissa Carden, the role died during the Irish Festival and the traffic issues it will cause. 2 points on that. When it comes down to construction of roads, people always are going to complain, but people want better roads.
Yes.
I know the timing is off. You could have did. That's what I like in California, because you guess what they do? They work on roads at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they work at roads on nighttime. Let's go back to question coming to you.
From Benita Threadgill. Music utilizes both spheres of the brain, left and right. That's why it helps with reading and math. Yes, Benita, we had Superintendent Cortez on who talked about that a little while back. And Benita, of course, is a band student herself, extraordinaire. So she knows of which she speaks.
So anyway, so there you go. It's 2:47. Man, time has flown. Okay, one thing we want to talk about, we talked about the severe drug problem. We have not addressed the homeless problem that we have. A lot of people say that people that are homeless want to be out there. They want to be panhandling. That's not necessarily true. A lot of people that are out there in the streets can't afford living in homes because of the price of housing. And I know they're trying to do something about that, but it's not happening fast enough. If you look at what's happening in the streets in New York, especially with the people being shipped from Texas, which don't do that, use people as pawns, but shipping people all over. Now you got people sleeping in the police stations and on the streets and stuff like that. The mayor of New York said it could ruin New York. Pastor Burns.
Yeah, New York is a crisis stage right now. And I agree with you. It's just horrible to use people as pawns like this. Maybe they're bringing awareness, but you're using human beings. But, you know, I walk a lot in the summertime. And I'll say there's certain parts of town where I walk and there's been development. When I used to walk there, I'd see along this path two or three people like in a wooded area homeless. And now that it's being developed, I was wondering to myself, where are they now? And some parts in Muskegon Heights, they just cleared a lot next to a business here in town, maybe a good acre. I could not believe the amount of blankets and jackets, mattresses. This wasn't junk, this is where people were living.
Mm-hmm.
Section.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, you and I both spent time with the rescue mission and all the work, and there's mental illness. There's substance abuse. There's people that $420 away, they already hit that $420 limit a long time ago.
Gone.
And once you get out there, it is a cycle that's hard to break. Because, you know, just get a job, just get on your feet requires an address. Requires you to be able to take a good, decent bath and wear some decent clothes to go to a job interview. You know, so once you get in that cycle, it is so hard to get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making it to appointments, it gets really tough. And so certainly, you know, we've been having this discussion the last couple weeks, and we talk about even as ministry, you know, you see the person out in front of McDonald's and Walmart begging for change. And I don't know their story. You have every right to not give that person a dime, but don't presume you know the story. You know, we see the stories on 60 Minutes where the person's out there and they go get in a nice car and drive away. Well, let me tell you, I up until February when I switched, you know, what I do for in the daytime, but worked at a food pantry, you see some nice cars drive up. But you know what I also hear when those nice cars drive up? I have my daughter's kids. I have my grandkids. I got another family living in the house with me. And so, yeah, they have a nice car, but you don't know the burden those people are under. Number one reason people go debt and go broke, medical bills. You might be one slip all away from financial catastrophe.
I was sitting up picking up my prescription and I was going, man, I thank God that I have insurance. I couldn't imagine having to pay for prescriptions without insurance. You're definitely right with the medical bills.
Okay, well
we're trying to tackle a lot of the questions, and I want to thank you so much. We're going to do this again, try to tackle all the things that you want to talk about. Okay, brother, let's open the can of worms. Are you ready?
Break that seal.
We're going to break that seal. Okay, we got the last two issues. We're going to say the big one for last, but we got a strike.
We
got a strike. The UAW has a strike right now on the big three. And the views that you're about to hear are the opinions of Gregory T. Roberts and Melvin Burns, Pastor Burns.
Do I need to qualify this by saying I'm a union kid? My dad is president, UAW Local 539. I grew up having that memorized. You know? So I want to say that so people don't think, you know, oh, he's a management bias. And I always tell young people, look, you know, I just know they took care of my dad, took care of the family, took care of my mom. Good pension, good income. So, but I also understand the economics. And so I'm not going to take a side, but I know we've seen prices go up crazy the last 3 years. You know, things used to cost $1, cost you $3. We've seen that. But at the same time, you know, was 40% wage increases, 30% wage increases, those are big bites.
They're huge bites.
Those are big bites. So I'm just going to say, before you jump on a side, think this thing through. You know, are they asking too much? Maybe, but then how have you seen prices increase for you? How have you seen, your medical copay? You might have paid $5 before, now went to $10. That's $10. That's 100% increase. You know, your copay's 10% or 80% of your bill. You've seen it go up crazy. You buy gas, how much gas prices changed in the last 3 years? And so, but understand that company's paying bills too. And I'm not taking either side, but I'm saying your company's paying bills too. And how much more can they give?
You hit it right, you know, about there's balance here. Okay, I was a union vice president, okay? Mm-hmm. I was a union vice president, and I was in the union. I've been in several unions, but also been a manager, and I owned a business, okay? So, mm-hmm. Both sides. I've been on the boards breaking down the budgets, so I understand both sides. Now, why is it that the people that are at the top making so much money, but is it right for somebody to be on the floor sweeping, making $43 an hour sweeping? Okay, question coming to you.
Okay. The automobile industry are not slashing prices for the cars. Their profit margin continues to rise. It does. And I'm just going to throw this out so we probe ourselves to think. How much is too much for stockholders and to make? How much profit is too much profit? Is there a number? How much profit is enough?
And to add to that, let's talk about gas. Everybody brings the gas prices on the president. Stop it. Just stop. You're killing me. The gas prices are, and they make up every little excuse. A pipeline bust at in Texas makes all the gas prices go up in the whole country. It's stockholders that want more profits, and they determine gas prices. Don't you get it twisted. Stop blaming the wrong person. It's all about that check.
Let's make it even more complicated to force our listeners to think. Okay, so we want the price, you know, we have a problem with the profit holders, right? And they want too much profit. Now, way down in my little measly IRA, I look at it sometimes and see it all, you know, because I can't be heavily invested in too many companies because, you know, I can't take a hit. But my portfolio got a little bit of everybody in it. Maybe 0.1% of the portfolio might be GM stocks, Ford. And so when they make profit, Melvin's little bitty portfolio creeps up just a little bit. So I do benefit, and many of us may benefit from the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now, again, I don't know how much I'm really contributing to the worker on the line. But at the same time, I do also know, as my retirement portfolio is vested in a lot of companies, when they're turning profits, the stock goes up, they count them dividends, and long term, that helps my little retirement portfolio.
We're bringing this up because we want you to, like, it's just like, think it through. It's just like we were talking about the homeless issue. Yes. I have a friend of mine that he doesn't give anybody cash, but he has a bunch of cards in his car, like McDonald's cards, and he just gives people, hey, here's a card, here's a you know, here's something for hamburger, you know. So the thing is, but he said, I'm not giving cash, but here's something to bless you. God bless you, brother. So that's something to think about. It's 2:57, and here comes the big one. Should there be, hold on, a question coming to you before we go.
From Erica Weimer, the government needs to reopen the oil pipelines in our country. We're importing oil from other countries and they are making the money.
Boom!
Well, we are importing from other countries.
Why?
Because
it's cheaper. It's cheaper.
And I could be wrong. I don't know if our country produces enough to take care of all of our needs right now anyway. Again, when you say the government reopened those oil pipelines, most of those pipelines are privately owned. And I know some governments just under some of government land, but the overall majority, you know, again, you know, your Shells, your Exxons, all those, well, those are the big gas companies.
Right.
And again, make sure we all do our research.
All right, 2:58. Here's a big one. Here's the big one that I was saying. Should there be an age limit for running for president? Because right now, the current president will be, 81?
Uh-huh.
And we have another president, the current president on the Republican side, that's creeping behind him a little bit. Should there be an age limit? Because the thing is that I'm okay. Wait a minute. We have hell yes from Anthony Miller.
Let's broaden out. Let's say Congress and president.
Because you should have the representative from California who needs help answering Feinstein, answering questions. People, you get a hip surgery and go enjoy life. Go enjoy your kids. Yeah, wait a minute. Another question is coming to you.
Should we have the same consideration for Congress and Senate? Yep, but that's my question too.
Yep.
And what should that, you know, what should it be? 75, 78, 80, 82? Right. So you got to tell me the number. If you think yes, tell me the number.
Wait a minute. Here, Michael Anthony Smith from Texas says no.